Hi everybody, this is Deidre Stats, and I'm filling in for Corinne, who normally runs the Sunday evening Course in Miracles study group calls. This week she is attending a beautiful silent retreat, and so she's asked me to step in and cover the call this evening, which I was very, very happy to do. This evening we're going to be reading from chapter 15 in the Course in Miracles text, going to be covering the topic of Christmas. But before I get into the page numbers and all of that good stuff, we'll just take a brief moment in silence, as Karen always says, at the beginning of each call, just connecting your spirit, the mind, and self attention. And as Karen always says, be you in charge, so we would follow you, knowing that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, or a thought, or a tranquil state of mind, these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So let me just go over some page numbers here, which Corinne kindly left behind for me, so let me just pull those up. Okay, so we were going to be reading from the end of sacrifice, which is in the FIP edition, it's chapter 15, part 11, and in the Sparkle edition, it's called The End of Sacrifice, and this section starts on page 374. So that's where we'll be beginning tonight.
374?
374. Hi, Paula.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Yeah.
Hi, Deidre. What did you say it was in the foundation?
Yeah, just let me grab that for you again. It's chapter 15, part 11. I'm not sure.
You're not sure of the page?
Exact page numbers, but the section is entitled, let me just grab that for you.
Chapter 3, page
11. Chapter 15,
okay.
Part 11.
Okay.
I don't have the exact page numbers, and I left my FIP edition at home. I'm staying at my mom's now for Christmas, so I don't have my FIP edition with me. So, but this, she says the, in the FIP edition, it's actually called Christmas as the End of Sacrifice, chapter 15,
yeah.
Part 11. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
This is a beautiful passage.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready, Sue? I don't want to go into... Okay, perfect.
Yeah,
so,
that's fine. Uh-huh.
Awesome. Okay, so the end of sacrifice. Fear not to recognize the whole idea of sacrifice as solely of your making. And seek not safety by attempting to protect yourself from where it is not. Your brothers and your father have become very fearful to you, and you would bargain with them for a few special relationships in which you think you see some scrap of safety. Do not try longer to keep apart your thoughts and the thought that has been given you, when they are brought together and perceived where they are, and choose between them is nothing more than a gentle awakening, and as simple as opening your eyes to daylight when you have no more need of sleep. Oops, I just lost my spot. 1 second, guys. The sign of Christmas is a star. A light in darkness. See it not outside yourself, but shining in the heaven within, and accept it as a sign the time of Christ has come. He comes demanding nothing, no sacrifice of any kind. Of anyone is asked by him. In his presence, the whole idea of sacrifice loses all meaning, for he is host to God, and you need but invite him in who is there already by recognizing that his host is one, and no thought alien to his oneness can abide with him there. Love must be total to give him welcome, for the presence of holiness creates the holiness which surrounds it. No fear can touch the host who cradles God in the time of Christ, for the host is as holy as the perfect innocence which he protects and whose power protects him. And I'll pause there for a moment.
It's really something, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it beautiful?
Oh my God.
I was doing some reading.
I love the part where he says he comes demanding nothing.
Yeah.
That's us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't live up to that all the time, that's for sure. That's just
no,
amazing.
I don't either. And I read these things. In fact, I was reading one just a little earlier. It says, you are right now enlightened. The only problem is you don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, that's the problem, thinking that you're not. I mean, it's, unlearning is the hardest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
We convince
sure
ourselves that we are something that we're not. And unlearning those habits and that conditioning is very, very hard.
Well,
it's easier to learn something than then unlearn it.
This is really where the Holy Spirit comes in, because
yes,
we really can't unlearn it by ourselves. We can't do it. And turning to the Holy Spirit is really the answer, and it's remembering to do that.
Yeah,
because
I do it all the time because I have built up in anxiety in my system just from years of thinking wrong thoughts, and it's just like this. So I am constantly asking the Holy Spirit constantly, and I feel like it's just he takes off a layer. Like, I think if he took all of the anxiety and stress out of my body, I read this somewhere, I would just go into nothingness. That's really where I've been living for so long. So I constantly am asking either for Jesus or Holy Spirit, let me see this differently, because I am so used to seeing things incorrectly and fearfully and judgmentally and all of that. So he does it softly, you know. It has to be softly and gently, and sometimes that is, you have to be awake for that, you know.
Yep.
you have to be aware and say, ooh, there was a little shift there. Ooh, you know, he's not going to come down with a sledgehammer, but, you know, just be awake. Oh, I feel a little bit better there. And that's how I'm going to I've discovered that's how I'm going to have to do it.
Well, that's really the only way.
That's only, you know, everybody, I want it now. Well, who's the I that wants it? It's the
that's
I
right.
that doesn't exist.
That's right.
Yeah. That's
I just keep saying, that's not my voice. That's not my voice. I'm listening.
That's listening. It's very common, though. See, if you can accept that, the fact that that feeling is very, very common. I have it, too.
You have it, too, Brian?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And if you look in that last paragraph, you know, the concept of love and fear is in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the fear being tied back into the ego somehow. And that ego just wants you to be afraid. You know, and it's so common. Don't feel it's just you. It's,
oh, yeah.
I feel it too.
I think being in the body is the only problem we have. And we're not really in the body, so we don't have any problems, do we?
I think that what it says in the first paragraph is really key to highlight too, because it says the sign of Christmas is a star, a light in the darkness. See it not outside yourself, but shining in the heaven within. So Jesus is saying, like, the light is already there in you. You think it's absent, but it's not. It's already, you already have it. But the tendency is for our littleness, our small mind, to see it as separate, as seeing ourselves as unworthy of God's love, right? Mm-hmm. And I was doing some reading before tonight's reading, and there's a section in the original edition, I think it's chapter 4, where it says, Christmas is not a time, Christmas is a state of mind. And I just find that quote so beautiful, because the Course talks about, you know, Christmas and the holy instant are one and the same. There's no difference between the two. So anytime we experience the holy instant, we're repeating Christmas over and over and over again. So,
I just watched on TV last night a version of Christmas Carol that was really good. The guy from Star Trek was Ebenezer Scrooge, and did a fabulous job. And of course, you all know how it ends. And his statement was, "I don't know anything."
Yeah.
Know anything. And he started this like he was going to throw up, and he just started, and then all of this, he started, and it came out as this laughter, and she just laughed and laughed and laughed, and he was dancing around the room. It was just this, because there was no separation there. There was no thoughts of fear. There were no thoughts of me. It was just expansive awareness, and I don't know anything, and I am open. And he flung open the window, and he just smelled the air, and it was just glorious, you know, this uninhibited joy of life had just infused him. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our natural state. We think we're going after some sometimes I get into that. You know, where am I going here with this? Am I going to lose myself with this, you know, this spiritual journey? Because spiritual sometimes takes on astral energies and all of these. I get away from, no, spiritual is just love, peace, joy, the fruits of the spirit. And that is our natural state. I keep having to say that to myself, Susan. Where you're going is natural.
That's when I'm happiest, when I'm in the natural world. You know, when I'm walking at the beach or when I'm out, we went to an alpaca farm today with those beautiful animals and such a lovely, quiet, peaceful setting. The natural world just feels right to me.
Mm-hmm. And what's the illusion with that? Nothing.
What's the illusion of that?
Well, you know, we're told that we live in this illusion.
Well, I suppose it is. I mean, but it just feels better than some other illusions.
Maybe we can keep going with the next paragraph and then keep elaborating as we go along. This Christmas, give the Holy Spirit everything that would hurt you. Let yourself be healed completely that you may join with Him in healing. And let us celebrate our release together by releasing everyone with us. Leave nothing behind, for release is total. And when you have accepted it with me, you will give it with me. All pain and sacrifice and littleness will disappear in our relationship, which is as innocent as our relationship with our Father and as powerful. Pain will be brought to us and disappear in our presence. And without pain, there can be no sacrifice. And without sacrifice, their love must be. You who believe that sacrifice is love must learn that sacrifice is separation from love. For sacrifice brings guilt as surely as love brings peace. Guilt is the condition of sacrifice, as peace as is the condition for the awareness of your relationship with God. Through guilt, you exclude your Father and your brothers from yourself. Through peace, you invite them back and realize they are where your invitation bids them be. What you excluded from yourself seems fearful, for you endowed it with fear and tried to cast it out, though it was part of you. Who can perceive part of himself as loathsome and live within himself in peace? And who can try to resolve the perceived conflict of heaven and hell in him by casting heaven out and giving it the attributes of hell without experiencing himself as incomplete and lonely? As long as you perceive the body as your reality, so long will you perceive yourself as lonely and deprived, and so long will you also perceive yourself as a victim of sacrifice, justified in sacrificing others. For who could thrust heaven and its creator aside without a sense of sacrifice and loss? And who can suffer sacrifice and loss without attempting to restore himself? Yet, how could you accomplish this yourselves when the basis of your attempts is the belief in the reality of deprivation? For deprivation breeds attack, being the belief that attack is justified. And as long as you would retain the deprivation, attack becomes salvation, and sacrifice becomes love. And I'll pause there. So some pretty big statements are made in these last paragraphs, and I think it's kind of worth looking at them a little bit closer. because it's really talking about what we've been discussing already in terms of how we don't even realize how much our misaligned mind, the little mind, is aligned with guilt. And that all types of guilt, as it said in the earlier passage, imply separation from God.
So if you go back to the prior paragraph, guilt is the condition of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
What I seem to be focusing on, but I don't get it. That's the problem. Do you know what that's hinting at there?
Well, what comes up for me, Brian, and please, anybody who has anything else to offer, please do. What comes up for me is that our belief in guilt, our tendency to feed the thoughts of guilt with our small mind is what creates the separation. Our decision to feed the ego and believe in these thoughts of guilt, even though they are, not often conscious decisions that we make because our sleeping mind isn't fully conscious and aware that we're doing this a lot of the time. But it's that those beliefs that create the separation.
Yeah, and it's so curious because even in the prior sentence, you will believe that sacrifice is love. You who believe that sacrifice is love must learn that sacrifice is separation from love. And it seems to me it sounds as if that's turning the tables like 180 degrees. I mean, that's opposite. It seems like a real challenge there.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, for sure. And what's coming up for me right now as you share that is if you think of someone who feels extremely guilty, like they feel extremely bad about something they think they've done, so all they want to do to be worthy of love, which is what all our souls want, is to be loved completely and unconditionally. But if someone is feeling completely full of guilt and racked with it, all they want to do is something to prove that they're worthy of the opposite of that. And so if you think of like what comes up for me is some old school kind of religious teaching of that we're all sinners and we must repent for our sins, and be punished for them. And so being making sacrifices and not allowing yourself to have any kind of comfort or happiness in life because you believe that you must sacrifice to be worthy of God's love, so not allowing yourself to have any kind of pleasure or joy, just, self-sacrifice, self-sacrifice, self-sacrifice. And that's what comes up for me as an example of how we can believe that guilt is actually love because we have this belief that we need to prove that we're worthy of God's love. When Jesus is saying very clearly in A Course in Miracles, we already have the love that we're seeking. We already are the light that we seek. We're just not aware that we are that.
So when you get stuck, that's basically a mistake. It's an error.
It's right? Just a misperception.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Right.
And I think about that sacrifice. I mean, when you talk about, I mean, we're not over just, I think, in this course. I mean, we are overcoming our own personal, but this is ingrained, you know, this, especially if you've had religious training about die to self, you know, die to self every day, you know. And that's, if you had, you take that a certain way, that means, it means that you don't deserve, you know. If you take that the wrong way, that if you haven't been taught the higher teaching about your, that you have a Christ self,
mm-hmm.
what else is left? And so you go out and you sacrifice and you do good works and you do all those things that, hoping that that will appease, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you think how long this has been going on. I mean, from the beginning of time, the ancient Hebrews took the unspotted lamb and went in and sacrificed it because to appease the angry, you know, God who was so angry because they were so guilty. So this is, guilt has been going on for a long, long time. And Jesus is trying to do a massive thing here with our minds here.
Mm-hmm. They've
been thinking this for a long time that you've been guilty.
Well, I think that's one of the most beautiful teachings that the Course has about the crucifixion itself, because the whole, the way that Jesus approached it was, he's basically, the main crux of the teaching is that we are eternal beings and we cannot die, you know, the physical crucifixion. When I read the Course, is not what Jesus is getting at. It's actually getting at his teaching that he is not his body, and the light that God instills in each and every soul is what is eternal. It has nothing to do with the body. So in a way, when we are choosing the ego, we're crucifying ourselves. It's just like the second paragraph says here, as long as you perceive the body as your reality, so long will you perceive yourself as lonely and deprived, and so long will you also perceive yourself as a victim of sacrifice, justified in sacrificing others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all of that stuff.
That really explains it.
And it's Jesus saying, look, this is not the truth. This is not the truth of who you are. You are the love and the light.
You know, when you really start to get that and you really want to incorporate that in your life, I know my daughter she's really gotten on a spiritual path. And she said to me today, Ma, it's like, I become the fault finder personified, because the ego gets in there, and the resistance that comes up. Because really, when we really start to get this, that's the death of the ego. That's the end of it. Well, I don't know about the total end of it, but you know, I mean, it really gets
vicious,
suspicious at best, and vicious at worst. I mean, that's literally said in the Course. So, you know, again, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Help me with this. And I see how quick I can shift out of that ego thinking when I call on the Holy Spirit. Life becomes easier. It becomes a lot more pleasant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things that would, oh my God, when I think before this, getting involved with the Course, how I could ruminate and carry on for months over the simplest, you know, there was no end to it. And I, anymore, I just feel, you know, I certainly experience wall that we're talking about here, these ego attacks. But I can come out of it a lot faster now because it's not my voice.
And
I know that, you know, I know the difference. I know God wouldn't be saying this crazy stuff that comes into my head.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It always comes down to, what would God be saying about this?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that, I mean, that just simplifies it. But even at that, there are times it's like, oh, I can't wait to get on this Sunday night. This is so helpful.
Yeah.
Something, you said a couple of things last week, Deidre, that just stayed with me all week. I just kept thinking about your name. I just, and it would help me to remember, because this is another thing, you know. Like you can't, it's like the forgetfulness comes, and it's like, what, have I got amnesia or something? What the fuck? So I just kept thinking, Deidre, and then it helped me to remember what you said, because we were talking about planning, and you actually started talking about how you just let go and how things worked out so beautifully for you, because you didn't plan, you didn't try to control any of it, and that's the hard, you know, that's challenging for me. So
That doesn't mean that the Taz hasn't tried to pick it up a few more times. So let me tell you.
Right.
That it's just about, you know, when I notice that happening, to just surrender that and allow the Christ mind to take over.
Well, you know, you also talk a lot about the angels, and at one point in the week, I actually asked you to send them, and I got a lot of relief and a lot of help from that. So that's very powerful, too.
It is, absolutely. I talk to my angels all the time, and my life is completely transformed because I allow them to take over for me and spirit to take over. So it's just that people aren't aware that this is available to them, and that's why I'm so passionate about what it is that I'm doing. So if more people were aware that this is available to everyone, then what a peaceful world we would live in.
Absolutely.
So let's go for another paragraph. So it is that in all your seeking for love, you seek for sacrifice and find it. Yet you find not love. It is impossible to deny what love is and still recognize it. The meaning of love lies in what you have cast outside yourself, and it has no meaning at all apart from you. It is what you preferred to keep that has no meaning, while all that you would keep away holds all the meaning of the universe and holds the universe together in its meaning. For unless the universe were joined in you, it would be apart from God, and to be without him is to be without meaning. Going to scroll down. Sorry about that. Okay, there we go. In the holy instant, the condition of love is met, for minds are joined without the body's interference, and where there is communication, there is peace. The Prince of Peace was born to reestablish the condition of love by teaching that communication remains unbroken even if the body is destroyed, provided that you see not the body as the necessary means of communication. And if you understand this lesson, you will realize that to sacrifice the body is to sacrifice nothing. And communication, which must be of the mind, cannot be sacrificed. Where, then, is sacrifice? The The lesson I was born to teach and still would teach to all my brothers is that sacrifice is nowhere and love is everywhere. For communication embraces everything. And in the peace, it reestablishes love comes of itself. Let no despair darken the joy of Christmas, for the time of Christ is meaningless apart from joy. Let us join in celebrating peace by demonstrating no sacrifice of anyone. For so will you offer me the love I offer you. What can be more joyous than to perceive we are deprived of nothing? Such is the message of the time of Christ, which I give you that you may give it and return it to the Father who gave it to me. For in the time of Christ, communication is restored, and he joins us in the celebration of his Son's creation. And I'll pause there.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it?
That is beautiful. That's all we want. I mean,
right.
That's all we want. That's what it's all about.
And you know, like what comes up for me is like when is Christmas? When is the time of Christ? And it's like right now and right now and right now and right now.
Right now and right now.
Yeah.
That's right. It's wow.
I love the part too about the communication remains unbroken even if the body is destroyed. And that was, I forgot about that paragraph. And I actually went to the cemetery today for my dad, and it was the first time since he passed. And it was so much easier than I thought it would be. And on the way back, my nephew was telling stories about some things that have been happening that were pretty clearly my dad communicating with him. And he just kind of matter-of-factly talks about it, and I'm like, wow, this is so interesting. And I thought about the course and how much just kind of, you know, reading it and putting it into my life more and more has made a huge difference. And it isn't until those moments where you're kind of like, wow, I'm not feeling like I thought I would feel, or, I mean, I'm feeling peace in a moment where you would think there wouldn't be peace, and feeling someone close that, you know, physically isn't there. It's just pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
That was beautiful, Brian. That makes me think of, have you ever heard where children come into this world knowing, and as they get old, they forget? I heard about this anecdotal where these parents are walking past their baby's room, and their son was leaning over and says, quick, he was talking to the baby, quick, tell me about God, I'm beginning to forget. But anyway, when my father passed away, our younger son was 4.5 years old, and we came back from the funeral, and I was putting him to bed, and we were praying and saying things about Granddad. And at 4.5, this is, and you know, the course talks about, you know, there is no time, there is no space, everything's happening, you know, which boggles the mind. But anyway, at 4.5, he said, you know, Mom, it's going to seem like a long time till we see Granddad again. But for him, it's going to be a really short time.
Oh, wow.
That's
pretty amazing.
At 4.5, he had somehow retained that knowledge of there is no, it came, I've never forgotten that.
He hadn't been corrupted yet.
he had forgotten.
It's beautiful. The innocence is right there.
Well,
yeah,
and
David
when
Kessler
he was in the bathtub when he was three, and he said, "If I, Mom, if I ever get sick and I start to, you think I'm starting to die, don't take me to the hospital because I'll be in heaven and I'll be happy there."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, David Kessler, who works with grief and people who pass, has said that on his show, and I thought it was really cool that, you know, for them it's like 2 seconds and we're all back with them. But when you hear it from a kid like that, it just makes it so much more valid to me, at least.
Yeah.
And I think it's so interesting, too, that you shared a story that you received, you know, confirmation from your dad this week, too, because I received confirmation from my dad last night as well. So it's so cool, like, how connected everything is, you know. I had been experiencing some, you know, fear and guilt coming up from the TAS, and I just started talking to my dad out loud, and I just was sitting up in bed, and I was like, I know, you know, the feelings that I'm having around money in the future are not real, and just send me a sign that you're with me and that you're here. And I reached over to my, a mediumship deck. I reached over and I pulled a card, and the card was, "Do not be afraid."
Oh, geez.
And I was like, you know, thanks, Dad. I really needed that. And it's like, in a way, my dad is more here for me now. And this is what he was, the message that he was giving me, is that I can do more for you now that I'm without my body, that I'm not restricted to my body, than I could while I was on Earth. So basically know that I'm looking out for you. And he said to me, like, I actually heard, I didn't hear like a voice. It was more just like a feeling, but he was telling me, just go and have fun and don't, you know, try to put these thoughts out of your mind. Try to not, you know, project yourself into April and May and June. Just, you know, focus on what you can do right now. And I thought, wow, because that's all that exists. And my dad totally helped me through, like, some really heavy concerns about money, which are all, like, it just makes me laugh when I think about how Spirit was able to help me process my dad's transition. And here I am in an earthly body worrying about little things like finances. Like, it's just so stupid.
No, but again, that's the ego.
Yeah,
that's totally the ego. Because when you know, when you start to get really comfortable and you,
I know, but my dad really helped me put that whole thing in perspective, and it's like night and day between yesterday and today. So,
Deidre, my older daughter is not on a spiritual path, but I'm telling you, since her father passed, she has had some of the most, she would tell you the same thing right now. He helps me more now than he ever could when he was in a body on this planet. I mean, he has helped her to shift. Like, it's just amazing. Both of my daughters feel that, that's the power of love. Mm-hmm. And he was a very loving dad.
Yeah.
And he hasn't stopped.
No, love can't be stopped. That's just it.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling.
It's so peaceful. Like, I can't even describe it to people. It's just so, like, it really, love doesn't end. And that's...
It absolutely doesn't end. And keep calling on him. I mean, keep,
I
really.
Know. Yeah,
and that
I
is
am.
The Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit, you know. That really is.
We aren't our bodies. We aren't.
I think it really helps me to relate to the Holy Spirit. on a deeper level, when I think about my parents and all of those who passed, you know, and the support that I feel from them. We've started to really acknowledge them, all of them, more now on the holidays. We do. My husband worked for Tuscan Dairy, so I bring the Tuscan milk. And Jerry Gray, one of our other wonderful relatives, loved Pabst Blue Ribbon. So now we bring, you know, we just surround ourselves with things that they loved, because I think they want to be included. They don't want to be forgotten.
Absolutely not.
No.
And really, you know, I feel that it's just a constant reminder that they're really, no matter what we think we experience here on the level of form, there really is nothing whatsoever to be afraid of. Because when my dad was living in his earthly experience, he carried a lot of fear and things. And now that he's without the body, like, he literally tells me, I'm not afraid, I'm at peace, I know that the love is the only thing that's real. And, you know, he really is, you know,
there is
still
no
here.
Death.
There is no death.
So. There is no death. And I sometimes I feel absolutely disrespectful. I went to a viewing this afternoon, one of my friends at work, she just lost her dad. And we went, and you know, I have to really just keep my mouth shut, period, because I don't believe in this anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't believe in it anymore. In death.
Yeah.
Hey, evening, family.
Hi.
Hey, how you? It's nice to hear y'all this evening. Very comforting.
Yeah.
This is Carla. I was just listening in, and when I first heard you read, Dietrich, I have the third edition. So about Christmas, this Christmas, give the Holy Spirit everything that would hurt you. And let yourself be healed completely, that you may join with him in healing, and let us celebrate our release together by releasing everyone with us. This, about a week ago, I had what felt like a horrendous, rude awakening regarding a relationship, and just how it ended. And I really struggled with that. And at times I still do, because it's only been maybe a week now, but I was speaking with one of my friends who's also a course student. And she said something that I just hadn't thought about before. She said something about, declare what it is that you want for your relationships, because I was describing to her a pattern that I was seeing, that no matter how much I thought about how wrong it was and just how frustrated I would become through seeing this same pattern, although at this point, the last situation definitely was if I could say a higher level and a better matched person. So that means that on some level I've certainly changed my mind. However, this particular pattern, it hurts me.
Mm-hmm.
Hand down. In my perception, it hurts me. And her loving guidance was to declare what it is that I wanted. And every time, And to continue, as she said, date, just because that person wasn't ready doesn't mean that you're not ready for love. So declare what you want and stick to it and allow that to show up. And even if it looks like that pattern might have showed up again, I can also declare that this is the past only that I'm seeing in this, and continue to declare what it is that's my birthright, which is love. And the ego would have me believe that love is not available ever because of this lifelong pattern. And I do need to give that over to the Holy Spirit, because that does hurt me. It hurts deeply. And I know that I'm still feeling the feelings and the anger, and I'm just letting myself just feel it so that I can move through it. But I know that that's something that I'm willing to see beyond. And I'm grateful for that today. So just thank you for just letting me say that, and just for being there, that this Christmas, that is what I would like to give the Holy Spirit, because that does hurt me.
Mm. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. And I think it's beautiful that you're reflecting on it and looking at it in terms of how the situation, however it's appearing, has presented to you exactly what you know you don't want, so that you can look at exactly what you do want and speak that into existence and co-create that in your life with Spirit. So I think that's really beautiful.
You know, I was watching someone on the Corinne's website, a woman talking about holding out her hand, being in a wonderful situation with friends, and actually having the presence of mind to hold her hands out to the universe and say, "Oh, I'd like more of this, please."
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I got such an image of that, and I've been doing that a lot. Ooh, I've had so much fun in the last few weeks, and it's come about because of this. Because when I'm in with friends, I love being with friends. I love sharing, you know. And every time I'm in those situations, I hold out my hand to the universe and say, "Oh, I'll have more of that, please." Oh, and I keep getting these invitations. I'm exhausted. I've been to more Christmas parties this week. I have had so much fun this week.
Aww.
And it's that, I'm good enough. I could have this. This is what God wants for me. He wants me to be perfectly happy and have fun. And Carla, hold out your hands and say, "More love, please." When you're in a loving situation, just put your hands out and say, "I'll have more of that, please."
I like
it. It is so cool. It works. But I'm getting tired. I mean, I got to, like, put my hands in my pocket, because now I need a rest. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. God wants us to be happy.
Right.
And one of the things, too, that came up for me is that I realized that I didn't have that, well, maybe I did something wrong, maybe this, maybe that.
Yeah.
Immediately, I knew. I said, I didn't do nothing wrong, you know. I know I'm good. I'm good to go, you know.
Yep.
I'm doing what I need to do to open up to love and to integrate this truth into my life with guidance from Holy Spirit. So I knew immediately, just based on how it was done, especially how it was done, that I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything wrong. For me, if I care and I love somebody, there's a gentle, there's a loving, there's a considerate, there's a compassionate way that I'm sure Spirit would guide me to interact with them. And what I saw, what I experienced was not that. And I knew I didn't want more of that. And so I was appreciative. I am appreciative on one hand that I get to see this kind of stuff from this individual in the beginning, and not have gone too much further into the situation with them because we were going to get married. So I would have learned a whole lot more about this person if they hadn't done that. So I guess Holy Spirit is loving me so much that he's not going to let me join with someone that doesn't love me. So, you know, I don't feel as though I want the person back. I mean, considering what the experience was, I don't want more of that. But I do like what my friend said in acknowledging what I do want and that it's out there. And it goes back to that saying that I used to hear old folks say, one monkey don't stop no show. And that's the truth. One monkey don't stop no show.
All right. I pick that up. You said sometimes.
Yeah. So I can't allow that ego to make me think that love is not available, that there is not love out there, because it would continue to separate me from all the love that's out there. And I'll be honest, I do have a fear, but that hurts, and I'm willing to give that over to the Holy Spirit too. So, but thank you. I just let me, I don't know, rant.
And you know, I have to say something that's been kind of on my heart the whole time we've been calling or talking. It just keeps coming up from the Course, and I feel like it's meant to be said. I read the whole part of the Course, and before I got to the section that said, I've talked a lot about the ego as if it were something apart from you. That was necessary because so much of your thinking is derived from that. But it is just the thoughts that you have about yourself. That's all it is. It's not a separate entity that's out to get us. It's not some psychic force. And, you know, we tend to say the ego did this, the ego did that. No, it's just the thoughts. And as he says, as you made it by belief, you undo it by disbelieving in it. Because I tend to do that. You know, I read about the ego and everybody talks about the ego. It's like if when you're a child and you have an imaginary friend. You know, it's...
I think the Course makes it very clear that the ego doesn't exist at all.
Yeah.
It does, but when... it doesn't even exist. It's a thought. He says it's literally a fearful thought. And guilt is a thought that you believe in.
Yeah.
It's just like Liz Cronkite, she's a Course in Miracles teacher, says. She says, when you really think about it, what have you done that you should feel guilty about?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, that part of your mind, come on, you know, does that. And that's the part that we've got to bring up. But she says, really, what have you been guilty of look at it?
But it's
with
always,
open.
If we think somebody else is guilty out there, we perpetuate our own feelings of guilt. This is hard to stop. I mean, this is stuff that we've been taught.
Well, I like what Ken Wapnick says. He says, don't try to change your ego. He says it's impossible.
Yeah.
You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. You're just not going to do that. He says, being in your right mind is knowing when you're in your wrong mind and looking at it with Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. I'm insane right now. I'm totally insane. I know it. I recognize it. But I'm looking at it with you. So. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, it's like that prayer that Corinne always mentioned, look at this, judging it for me, because we don't have to do anything. And
right.
Just before we close tonight, I feel moved to mention one quote from the Course. It's actually in relation to the crucifixion, but I think it's appropriate in terms of Christmas, because Jesus said, demonstrate that I did not die by, you know, demonstrating that I live in you. And I think that's the perfect way to approach the holiday season. It's a rebirth of Christ in our hearts, in our souls. And I wish you all the happiest of Christmases.
Thank you, Dee.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Good night.
Good night.
Great job. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, boy. Blessings.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. A little bit.